Our scripture lesson today comes from the Gospel according to Matthew chapter 21, and I'll be reading verses 1 through 11. When they had come near Jerusalem and had reached Bethphage at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, just say this, 'The Lord needs them,' and he will send them immediately." This took place to fulfill what had been spoken through the prophet, saying, "Tell the daughter of Zion, 'Look, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a donkey.'" The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and put their cloaks on them, and he sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and that followed were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest heaven!" When he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was in turmoil, asking, "Who is this?" The crowds were saying, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Will you please pray with me? May the words of my mouth, the meditations of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord. For you are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. On that original Palm Sunday, there was no doubt of Jesus' popularity, at least among his followers. Coming up to Jerusalem from Jericho, Jesus and the disciples would have likely fallen in with the thousands of other pilgrims who would swell the population of the holy city from about 40,000 to more than 200,000 people to celebrate the Passover festival. Okay, so let's think about this for a moment. Just imagine Sun City, just Sun City, not Surprise, not Peoria, not Sun City West or any other towns around us. Imagine if Sun City had a population of 200,000 people all in this geographical area. You wonder about the traffic? And you wonder why he rode a donkey. There were people everywhere. The Passover was a time of celebration, but it was also a time of high tension in Jerusalem. When the Passover festival, it celebrated the liberation from the tyranny of Egypt generations before. First century Israel was still, however, under a foreign-dominated country. The Roman occupation of their homeland, it chafed at the Jews, tempering the joy that was part of the Passover festival. Riots, uprisings, well, they were fairly common during Passover. So, well, Rome made sure that the military might and presence during that week, it was there, including more troops at the Antonio Fortress, which sat above and overlooked the Temple Mount. Marcus Borg and John Dominic Crossan, in their book, The Last Week, say that on that particular day in Jerusalem, people would have witnessed two processions, two parades, not one, two. The Pilate procession and the Jesus procession. The procession of the Roman governor Pontius Pilate and his accompanying military force coming into the city from the west would have provided that military deterrent during that festival. You research Pilate, and we get some disturbing results back then. According to the temporary historian Josephus, when Pilate first brought Roman troops into Jerusalem from Caesarea, he committed an unprecedented violation of Jewish sensibilities by allowing the troops, in the middle of the night no less, allowing the troops to put all of their military standards, their flags, their nationalistic stuff, even busts of the emperor, right in the Jewish, in the Jerusalem temple. A massive protest demonstration in Caesarea Stadium forced the removal of those items, but only after the Jews used tactics of nonviolent mass resistance, lying down and baring their necks when Pilate's soldiers, swords in hand, surrounded them and attempted to disperse them. They just laid there as if to say, "Go ahead, kill me." Josephus also speaks of protests that broke out on another occasion when Pilate appropriated temple funds to build an aqueduct for Jerusalem. On that occasion, Pilate had Roman soldiers, well, dress as Jewish civilians, armed with hidden clubs. They mingled amongst the shouting crowd and attacked the people at a prearranged signal, sort of a violent flash mob kind of thing. Many were killed or hurt. Pilate certainly would have had the gossips a-buzzing, but he was not popular at all. On the east side of the city, however, another parade was being planned, and the Bethany bloggers would have had no doubt burning up the bandwidth in reporting the arrival of one who would hopefully, well, be a different kind of ruler. Jesus sent his disciples to get a colt, which we assume was a small donkey. Mark and Luke aren't specific. Matthew, trying to connect Jesus with the prophecy in Zechariah, describes two animals. How Jesus rides two animals at the same time, I don't know. I did have a professor who wrote a book on this, however, and on the cover was a picture of Jesus, one foot on one foot on the other, and riding the reins on top. I think the professor did that to sell books, though. Anyway, the colt had been secured, and Jesus rides down from the Mount of Olives to the Golden Gate of the city with the crowds of supporters shouting, "Hosanna," a Hebrew word that mixes praise to God with a prayer that God will save people and do it soon. They spread their cloaks on the colt, cut branches from the surrounding fields, actions that were done only in the presence of royalty. Trust me, they weren't lying down their cloaks and branches for the other guy in that other parade. When we're waving our palm branches this day, one thing we have to be careful about is not to miss that Jesus was intentionally setting up a comparison between the violent and powerful trend of the empire and the peaceful, grace-filled trend of the reign of God. Borg and Crossan see Palm Sunday, that parade, as a kind of pre-planned political protest. And a look at the context seems to back them up. The symbolism of riding a ruler, riding a donkey, would not have been lost on those putting their cloaks on the road, for they would have remembered the words of the prophet Zechariah an image of a king coming into Jerusalem with shouts of joy from the people. He is triumphant and victorious. Now, those are words that the Romans and other imperial leaders would have embraced. But he is humble and rides on a donkey instead of a war horse. In fact, this king is not a conquering hero who uses weapons of mass destruction, but one who will break the power of the military might with humility, justice, and a peace for all people and all nations. The Jesus parade is thus an intentional parable, a statement of contrast. If Pilate's procession embodied power and violence and the glory of the empire that ruled, well, Jesus' procession embodied the kind of reign that God was ushering in through Jesus' ministry of healing, his message of good news, and ultimately his sacrifice on a Roman cross. Pilate and the empire, well, they represented what was the most powerful force in that region that day. But if you Google up Jesus versus the Roman Empire, it's not even close. Jesus wins in a landslide. The rest of Holy Week really comes down to a continued struggle for popularity. Jesus has it on what we refer to as Palm Sunday. But in the timeline of the Gospels, on Monday, he turns over the tables in the temple, and his popularity, well, it takes a dip, at least among the religious elite. His verbal sparring with the Pharisees and the temple officials had him charting well with the people and led the religious leaders to, well, look for a way to convert, to a covert way to bring him down. Now, Jesus versus the Pharisees, again, no contest. It's no wonder they were bent on getting rid of him. The bigger contrast, though, and the one we should be addressing on Palm Sunday, is the clash of worldviews represented in this text. Worldviews that are still at odds. The empire's worldview of status, power, military might, and coercion is as present and dominant in today's world as it was back then. So is the desire for comfort and security and greed and self-interest and wealth, particularly among the American culture. A popular contest between Kingdom of God and the American dream, God loses big time. We may admire Jesus, but we're not necessarily ready to follow him down that road of suffering, sacrifice, and servanthood. As if to underscore the point, the traditional route that Jesus took down from the Mount of Olives, it goes through an ancient cemetery, as it still does today. A stark reminder of where this particular parade will lead. Some of the same folks who were waving branches on Sunday were gone by Friday, having abandoned Jesus to the powers of the temple and to the empire. The question we have to ask on this Palm Sunday is whether we do the same thing. Whether we do the same thing when following Christ becomes inconvenient. Following Jesus means sharing his unpopularity, be it in the marketplace, the workplace, at club meetings, in our city council, state house, White House, at home. We have to remember, though, that Jesus had a world view bringing hope, bringing wholeness through obedience and submission to God. My message to you today is make that conscious decision in your words, in your deeds. Choose the right parade as we enter and journey through Holy Week.
Thanks be to God. Amen.